So today's daf in the Masechet Sukkah, brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Chof. We are holding in the middle of a rather complex sugya, which begins with a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which we saw in the Braita, according to which the shita in our Mishnah is not so poshut. So we're going aliva to Rabbi Meir. What we find over there that according to Rabbi Meir, for some reason, if you make a behema, a dofen for sukkah, it's possible. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's kosher. So we had a machlokas as to how to explain that machlokas. And that was a machlokas between Abaye and Rabbi Zeir. Abaye held that the problem was, Libra Rabbi Meir, Shema Tamut. And Rabbi Zeir holds, according to Rabbi Meir, was Shema Tivrach. So it ended up that the question was that actually, if it was a Shema Tivrach, so then everybody would agree. And the only question was whether we had to be Chayish Lemita. And obviously there were some additional points that we needed to close up the areas between the legs of the animal. We had to make sure that it was supported by ropes so that that it wouldn't be mitrabetzet and break the hoods of a dafta between its legs. But assuming that we had those issues taken care of, then Rabbi Yehuda did not see any particular reason to passel by some gezeira the sukkah that was made out of a behema. Now, that led us into some difficulties, because it appeared in other sugyas that we'd have to be chayish lemita, and we reversed the shitas. Abaye himself reversed the shita. Abaye said that Rabbi Meir is actually not chayish lemita in a case where, let's say, you needed to determine whether a husband was alive who moved overseas. Would his wife, a Kohen, who went overseas, left his wife behind, we don't know if he's alive or not. According to Rabbi Meir, then it would be no chashash lemita, and it would be no problem to continue to eat. And that was the reversal of Abaye Shita here. So what Abaye ended up saying is that there were really, you changed the lashon over there, and I believe this is where we're up to, came out that according to Rabbi Meir, we are chayish lemita, and the problem that had led him to say the opposite, which was the famous situation where somebody's lokeh yayin ben akutim, and he does not have a clear right now to take off trus and maaseres, whether he has a right to be semech on what it is that he will be taking off later on, this will be after Shabbat, that it should be considered to be a trumas and maisers for this moment, which of course is semech on breira, and then if he does the chilul of the maiser sheni and so on, he would be able to eat now, and there would be no problem. We find that Dafka over there, Rabbi Meir, is the one who is not chayish shemayi b'kahanod, because according to Rabbi Meir, there's no problem, you could do that. And it was Rabbi Yehuda who was chayish l'shemayi b'kahanod, which is the opposite of claiming that according to Rabbi Meir, we are chayish lemita, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not. So the Gemara answered, and this is where we were up to apparently, the Gemara answered that there's a tremendous difference, a little bit of Rabbi Meir, between death and b'kiyat hanod. There's nothing you can do about death, but there is something you can do to make sure that a glass bottle doesn't shatter. It has to be washed properly, that's all. It has to be protected properly, but there's certainly things in your hand that you can do. Therefore, you're not chayish for that. And in Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do about the steer in Rabbi Yehuda, where he seems to be chayish, l'b'kiyat hanod? So this is where we were up to. So let us continue on now from the words at the top of Chof Dalet. Rabbi Meir is chayish lemita, Rabbi Yehuda is not chayish lemita, and he builds that shita, Abaye, dafka on our Gemara, the Tanya. Asala beima dofen asukah. Rabbi Meir posels. Apparently, Rabbi Meir is chayish lemita. Rabbi Yehuda is makshir. So apparently, he's not chayish lemita. Exactly what he said here. What do we do with the fact that this creates a contradiction in Rabbi Meir? Kasha Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Meir, since Rabbi Meir is the one who says you don't have to worry about taking off trumot and maasrot, even in a situation where you will not be mafish them until a day later, you don't have to worry that maybe your bottle of wine is going to break and you'll never get around to being mafish them. What do you do with that contradiction? Omalacha Rabbi Meir, mita shechicha. When it comes to death, either the person will die, the animal will die, and so on and so forth, or won't. There's nothing you can do. B'kiyat hanod can be prevented, and therefore it's not called shechicha to come on its own. Efshar de masar le'shomer, you can give it over to a shomer. But what about the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda? Since Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, and what if the bottle breaks? Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, Says the Gemara, that wasn't really Reb Yehuda's logic. The reason Reb Yehuda disagreed and said that you cannot rely on Trumas and Maisers that will be Mufrashim later to retroactively define the cessation of the state of Tevel is simply because it's not because you may end up not doing it, it's simply because what Leberera. There is no way to rely that because something ends up happening, therefore was destined to happen that way, which would be Mebrera. In other words, because of the fact that I took off, let's give a number to each molecule. So because I took off molecule 17 times 10 to the 53rd through 39 through 10 to the 53rd, that's how it worked out, but it's not what was meant to work out. And therefore, there's nothing about what I do later that could possibly define the situation earlier. That's his real logic. The Bekiyat HaNod is irrelevant. What do you mean it's irrelevant? But he says it. How can you say that Reb Yehuda doesn't worry about the fact that the bottle of wine may break, and you end up, therefore, not taking off Trumot B'Maaserot? Which, of course, would be a contradiction to what we're saying over here, that according to him, we are lo chayesh limita. He's even chayesh l'Bekiyat HaNod. He's the one who actually said in that Braita, along with, of course, two other shitas, but he said to Rabbi Meir, Omrula le Rabbi Meir, how can you rely on the fact that the guy is going to be leaving over wine in his bottle or putting wine maybe in a kose after Shabbos? And that'll be his trumas and maestras. And what happens if that never happens? What happens if the bottle of wine breaks? V'yomalo and Rabbi Meir's response was, I'll worry about it when it happens. Likish yibaka. But doesn't that mean Michlal de Chayesh Reb Yehuda l'Bekiyat HaNod? That Reb Yehuda indeed has to worry about it. No, says the Gemara. It wasn't that was his logic. His logic was, I don't hold a brayer. That's his logic. But what he was saying was, look, Rabbi Meir, maybe you hold a brayer, but what would happen if the bottle would break? So therefore, Hatam Rabbi Yehuda to come to Rabbi Meir. Look, let me explain something. Lididi, according to me, the entire thing is absurd. Let me bray around. What do you mean? Just because something ended up working out in a particular way means that it was cause and effect all the way back to the beginning? And that this was the very molecule that you were not going to drink. It was the molecule that ended up becoming Truma. And that molecule was Meiser. And that molecule was Truma's Meiser. It's ridiculous. Whatever happened, happened chaotically. Therefore, how could it possibly allow you to drink it now? I don't hold of that. But Lididach, Piyesh Brer, you hold that? You could say that. But you have to admit that what if it doesn't happen at all? You certainly wouldn't say, if it doesn't happen at all, that it was meant to be Trumot B'Maaserot from the beginning, to which Rabbi Meir responded, Amar Likishi Yibaka. When it happens, I'll worry about it. Now, on the surface, this appears to be a rather, cute response, Rabbi Meir is saying. But in reality, the interaction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is profound. Because Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if the options of reality are only between A or B, such as in this case, this molecule or that molecule, so you want to pretend that there's such a thing as some type of causality that interrelates the two. That's all very sweet. What happens if it never happens at all? Doesn't that show you that there's no such thing as destiny? You're admitting that it could happen that it breaks. Right? So if it could happen that it breaks, how can you possibly say that right now it was aimed to be Trumas and Maisers later? And if it breaks, then nothing is aimed for Trumas and Maisers. Not I'm asking you to be chayshish that it should break. I'm attacking the entire idea of Brera by saying, and what if it breaks? To which Rabbi Meir answers a brilliant answer. I'll worry about it when it happens. Meaning that that introduces a new variable. If it happens, so then that's a different world, fine. But it's nothing that you need to worry about in terms of the causality that I'm looking at, right?
But what would you do?
It would be, let's say, in terms of physics. You would say the same thing. Right now, you do not have a bifurcation, so to speak, in a quantum reality, right? Oh, now, all of a sudden, a situation changes and somebody collapses a wave function. So then that's a new reality. But I'm going to worry about it now. I was in that universe before. I mean, this universe now, what do I need to worry about this?
When he gets to that universe,
so then I'll worry about it then.
Well, what will he do,
Lewis? Nothing. So it ended up that we never can. Yeah, so fine. But that's a different issue. That I'm not chayish for. That's true, of course, I'm not chayish for. That isn't the whole point. There's an underlying machlokas here about the issue of brayer. Okay. Ask the Gemara still. There's something that doesn't add up to me, because you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is not Cheshish Lemita. What do you do with the famous Bishnah Yuma, right? Where Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says it's not enough to have a Kohen Acher that could take the place of the Kohen Gadol in case he becomes Tameh. Af Isha'acheret bat kinan lo. You need to have another wife, because since it says V'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito, so that is Kedeya la'halacha, that a Kohen Gadol who doesn't have ba'ad beito cannot be Oived the Yom HaKippurim Kapora. So if that's the case, didn't you just say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not chayish lemita? So why would we have to make another wife? Itmar Allah Amr Avinu Brother of Yeshua, in one of the most beautiful play on words in all of Shas, Ma'ale Asu B'Kapara. And you know, we have dozens of Ma'ale Asu B'Kapara, which of course is the entire, all the dinim of Yom HaKippurim are the dinim of Pura, right? Kasher asav yom hazeh, and so on and so forth. This is ma'aleh asu b'kapara. We make a ma'aleh for kapara. It means that since the kapara of Yom HaKippurim is so chashev, so ma'aleh, we're makbid on things that we wouldn't normally be makbid on. So the same way, by para, we're makbid absurd chumras because of the kulas that we get, but we need to make ma'aleh b'para. So do we make a ma'aleh with things that are like a para, which is kapara? Now, Bein Laman D'Yomar Shema Tamut, Bein Laman D'Yomar Shema Tivrach. I mean, whether you're going like Abaye or you're going like Rabbi Zera, there's something very strange about the whole sugya, because it turns out that what you're saying is Mi'ikar Adin, everybody's made that it's a kosher bechitza, that it's an animal. It doesn't matter to me, right? Miniraita, it's a bechitza ma'ayin. It's all a drabana. Some gezera, whatever the gezera is, what mita, bricha, it's a rabana to the gazerba. But if that's the case, you can't make it a gzeira lakula. You can only be machmir. How do you explain the fact that a libra rabbi meir, a behema that is set up as a golel to a kever, is not batame? You can't say it's not batame, shema tivrach, shema tamut. And it says, now the truth is, Rashi points out, we had in the braita that says that enosimus amachlitz lasuke, korotama, etc., etc. It also says golel a kever. So why don't we just go to there to bring a raya? Because it's Rashi over there, even though it says you can't make it, it doesn't say beferish and star if you do make it. So therefore, we want to bring a raya directly from the Mishnah, actually, in Erevin, that Rabbi Yehuda says that an animal that's acting as a golel is metame mishum golel, and according to Rabbi Meir, it's metire. That's a kula. So it can't possibly be that the entire logic of this sugya is limited to Gzera Rabbanan, which both Abaye and Rabbi Zera say. Therefore, they're both wrong. There's got to be another explanation. There's got to be a Duraita problem. Hela, Omer of Achabar Yaakov, there is. Rabbi Meir holds that a mechitza that is omedet beruach is not a mechitza. Where the ikr mechitza is not what you're looking at, but is something that cannot be detected physically. In this case, it's the life of the animal that allows it to stand. It's the fact that it's a breathing, moving creature that allows it to stand. The moment you take away that life, it's gone. It's not a mechitza anymore. And therefore, you can't call that a mechitza. The point of a mechitza is that it has a physical, touchable, sensible self. And this doesn't happen. Another way of stating this was, it's a mechitza that is not even makeable by a human. It's not called a mechitza. You're going to take the animal. Well, what makes the animal stand up? Some emergent quality of it, which allows it to stand. Right? Okay, that's not a mechitza. You can't make that happen. There would be a very simple case that would distinguish between these two approaches. A balloon. Now, you can blow up a balloon. But as far as the balloon being the external surface of the balloon serving as the mechitza, it certainly is not. It's some type of thermodynamical mishigas that's going on inside that keeps that mechitza in place, right? You filled it with air. Can you see the force fields that are keeping it in place? No. So basically, what you're dealing with is force fields, right, in the gas. That's not, you may be able to do it, but you can't touch it, you can't use it in any way directly. It's just that, you know, that's the way it is. So if this far is omed beruach, that it has no mamashut, the balloon has no mamashut. If this far is that you can't do it, well, I just did. So therefore, you can use the balloon, and that would be the nafkamina. You use the balloon to put up the mechitza of your, to use as the mechitza of your sukkah. So let mechitza. If it's the very fact that there's nothing here but air, that can't be a mechitza. So then, what's the difference if it's a balloon? It's possible because it's omitted beruah. But if the problem is, so then this is made by people. What's the difference? How it's made. Brilliant. Now,
What about a big rock or the side of a natural thing?
That you can make.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can make? Or yeah.
You build it there.
What if this cave's already there? Or the
yeah, it doesn't mean that it has to be that. It means that you can make
an object that can be worked.
Yeah, I mean, we found cases where there's even cheetahs that hold it as actually deformed, but you don't have to go that far in some of the cases we're talking about before. Oil on meat. There's concept of asuya bidei adam that goes beyond it. That is literally was made for those purposes to be an oil. That's something else, but that's not required over here.
Could there be a distinction between a balloon and like a heavy vinyl? The heavy vinyl is really a metzias. It's just using
right, but the heavy vinyl is not really your mechitza. It's standing there because of something else.
The air in it.
Yeah, and that air is not mamish. It's not called mamashrut.
Okay, but the ikur thing is the vinyl.
The eager thing that you are, well, you say the same thing of the animal. The animal is a nice, you know, here it is, and I'm pushing
the
against it.
The entire animal is really being sustained by its ruach.
And here too.
If
it was a vinyl that wouldn't collapse, if you took the air out, and then 100%, of course it would be okay. Now, we spoke about the case in the animal as well. We would hold the animal up.
A water filled.
That for sure is good. That's mamashut. Water is mamash. Air is really not. It's just force fields that do not really touch you sensually.
There's something there, it's just...
Yeah, but you can't touch it.
Touching means...
You can't detect it. There's nothing to detect.
It's Torah even for sukkah.
No, we don't mind virtual walls, where there are loved walls and so on and so forth. So if we can't say it's too Aroy, that's even more Aroy. But the point over here is it has to start with the Mamashut. Omer Mamishur Reb Yossi Aglili Omru. Now, the bright outs included some other weird things that we didn't have any real explanation for. Even, everything we've said so far doesn't explain why you can't write a get on any of these things. I mean, you threw that in too. According to Reb Yossi Aglili, you can't write a get on a living thing. Why is that? Where does that come from? So my time in Yossi Aglili. That actually is a little bit complicated. That we learn from a bright, the Tanya. When the Torah says the Lashon of a Katavla Sefer Kritut. So we darshan from that the word Sefer on its own, if actually Tosfos says that the truth is this is really a cloud product cloud. So if the Katavla is anything, and then the Sefer is specifically a cloth, because that's usually what sefer means. And then at the end, when we talk about the kritut, it would mean anything that would be koreit. So it's really a klal prado klal. It brings a raya from a number of different, even though the Gemara doesn't say this beferish, but here it's just sort of looked at as a ribui and miut and so on. But let's take into consideration that we're not going into the details over here. So if it would have said the word sefer alone, I would say, okay, a sefer is a cloth. That's what it means. We have sefer Torah and so on. So, ein li ela sefer. How do you know you can write it on anything at all? Minayin l'rabot kol davar. Talmud lomar v'katavla. V'katavla is a cloth. Mikol makom. Im kein ma talmud lomar sefer. Again, this is based on, so what is the similarity to the prat of this cloth, prat of cloth? Right? Ma prat mefurish, that what? Just like a sefer is a dover shein bo ruach chayim. And it isn't a food stuff. And Tosfos points out, look, to get into the specifics of why Chazal will choose a particular common denominator and not another common denominator, that already is given over into the Shlita of the Das of the Chachamim, to define the nature of the Klal Prado Klal. Okay, this is what they viewed as the common denominator that is meaningful in this pasuk. So just like the Sefer is something that is not a living entity, nor is it a foodstuff, so you cannot divorce a woman on a tomato. What about the question? The Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Question is whether you can use the Arabic approach. You know, send her an SMS. That's the latest fatwa. The Rabbanan say, Ikatav Siba Sefer. Look, yeah, you're making a fundamental error here. Bekatav La Sefer Kritut, you're taking it to mean what it is that you write has to be on a cloth, and therefore you need a riboy to tell me that it can be other things. But that's not even what it's referring to. It doesn't say Bekatav La Ba Sefer. Then you'd be right, we'd be made a kid comrade. But what does it say? Bekatav La Sefer Kritut. Sefer means the story, not a book, in a book. You write her the story of the Kritut, which means L'svirat Dvarim Ba'alma Hudiyat. It's coming to tell you that what the Get consists of is the description of the Areyat Muteret L'chol Adam. It's the description of that state that you're attempting to achieve. So in which case, of course, they do not need the Rabbanan. The Vikatav, you could sit right here. It's almost as good as sitting a chair away. Well, how do you like that? Yeah. Yeah. I know you can. You've had worse. What do you mean? He's been with me for 40 years. Can you imagine what he's been through? It's only 39 years?
Maybe 39.
Okay. Getting on. It's a shame. So now, the question over here is, according to Rabbanan, if they don't learn Sefer Mitzvah Sefer, then what do they need the Vekatav for? Because you don't have to be now Marbe with a klal, things beyond the Sefer. No, Avamina, there should be a Sefer. It wasn't referring to what it's written on. It was referring to what you are writing. So then what do they darshi with the word Vekatav? So, Hai Vekatav, my darshi be. Ahumi Boilo, they say the reason it says Vekatav is to teach me that a get can only be achieved through writing. Piktivai mitgareshet, ve'ino mitgareshet bakesev. You might think that since the Torah has compared v'yatzah v'haita le'ishacher, v'yatzah mideito v'haita le'ishacher, that v'yatzah v'haita in technical terms, yitziyah is the exit from the state of marriage, which describes the gerushin. V'hayata, havaya, is a description of entry through kiddushin. Now, we know that kiddushin can be achieved through kesev. So then maybe gerushin can be achieved through kesev. And therefore, you shouldn't only be limited to this sefer kritut. Therefore, kamash malan, v'katavla, noni v'katavla, b'chtiva mitgareshet, v'ino mitgareshet b'kesev. Because salkada teicha mina, I might have thought that all of it, k'shitziya la'avaya, I should say that just like kiddushin, I know from kicha, kicha is achieved by kesev, so to yitziya should be achieved by kesev, and you should be able to, this does not mean the wife, learns Rashi in Tosfos, does that mean the wife would give money the way an evit would give money, so to speak, buying themselves back for pidyon? That's not the point. The point is that you would give money to achieve gerush. So, therefore, because that's the whole point of the hekesh, the same way you would achieve kiddushin, you would achieve gerushin, but with a statement that it's to the opposite purpose. And therefore, kamash malan, that is not the case. So then how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili? So if that's the case, what we're left with now is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who needs the word the Sefer Kritut for something else, right? And the Vekatav La for something else, to tell me that we're marbe, even things that are not Sforim. Because he took Sefer to mean not Sfirat Dvarim, but rather he took Sefer to mean that it's the actual, might have meant Klaf that have answered Vekatav La. So according to him, he can't use the Kataf to mean B'Ktiva Mitgareshet Vena Mitgareshet B'Kesev, for instance. So how does he know it? It's Ais for me, Noma. That, he says, that's the reason we put Sefer together with Kritut. Sefer Kritut is definitive of that Sefer, which means the only thing that can achieve Kritut is a Sefer. Sefer Korta, Vein Davar Acher Korta. Oh, so what did the Rabbanan do with that Smichut? V'ida, what is the meaning of a Sefer specifically? Kritut? Humi Boile Ledavar HaKoreit Beino Leveina. That the idea over here is that the achievement of a gerushin must be that she is not bound to him. She's cut. The strings are cut. But as long as there are strings attached, which became, in English, the words for some type of condition that would bind you, which comes from this sugya, literally, so as long as she is not kruta, she's not cut completely, all strings are cut, there is not a get. And therefore, there's a tremendous difference between a condition or binding. The word binding relates to strings. So you can have a borrow term of a binding condition, but it isn't really binding. It's binding on the contract. It's not binding between you. When it comes to a get, a binding condition that passes the get means that you and she are still bound together. And that's the opposite of kritut. So therefore, if you make a condition that is in no way connected to something between you, you say, okay, this is your get on condition that you don't drink wine, right? So you're trying to get rid of your alcoholic wife. Right? So this is only a get if you don't drink. So if you throw in the word ever, then forget it. It's not a get because now you've defined her life. Her life is connected to this definition. But if you say for the next 30 days, for the next 30 years for that matter, it doesn't matter because then it's something that's external. It's not defining her life. So then, shloshim yom arei kritut. So wait a second. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who used Sefer Kritut to tell me that only the Sefer is Korta, doesn't have the Sefer Kritut to tell me that there can't be strings attached, which is also where this the word comes from, strings attached, right? So there can't be strings attached, but he can't use learn it from here. So how does he know there can't be strings attached? Ah, he learns it out from the unusual word kritut instead of saying karet. You can say sefer karet. So it's kritut. So karet kritut adds an additional level of drisha on this. Karet kritut nafka. What does Rabbanan say? Nah, karet kritut lo darshi. It's an extra drusha. And mamele, it turns out that we have a question as to whether you can use the klal prado klal in a way that excludes a bal chai, as Rabbi Yosef Glili does. According to Rabbanan, there never was a need for any klal prado klal in terms of what it is that you use to write the get. And now we have a very special word from our president.
Dr. Heineken Mishnah.
It says sukkato, beina ilanot. So we've spoken about the idea of putting a sukkah on the ilan, the question of how many walls you could use, and so on. What about if your sukkah is built perfectly well on the ground? The only thing is that the walls of the sukkah are nice, thick trees. What do you do then?
California redwoods.
Yes. Well, they don't, no, actually, we don't want to talk about California redwoods, as we'll see. Okay. We're talking about a combination of trees. Mm-hmm. And one tree would not fix the Gemara's discussion. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about trees. We got branches coming down and another tree next to it. So basically, you know, you look at Lovud, and it looks pretty good. It's all, you know, sort of closed up. And that's my wall. So over there, if the Ilanot or Tfanot, it's perfectly okay. Now, the problem is, and this is a very prevalent issue, halacha l'maisa. Om revacha bar Yaakov, kol mechitza she'ina yecholah la'amod, beruach mitzuya, ina mechitza. We were talking about a schach. It can't be made in the wind, right? If it can't be made in the wind, it's obviously not schach. But now, there's another issue. A mechitza that won't stand still, at least that's what it seems to mean, in a normal wind. Is that a mechitza or not? So, yeah, says Ravacha by Yaakov, it's not a mechitza. So we asked Tanya, so what do we do about our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, oh, says sukkato beina ilanot. Does it say next to a California redwood? It says trees. So in other words, basically what you've got is a very common situation at the edge of your property. You've got a lot of trees and branches sticking out and so on, and it's pretty impenetrable. And you're going to use that as the tefanot. Ha'ilot tefanot, la, it says kshera. Now, how do you explain that? I mean, certainly these branches move, don't they, in a wind, or kazavati. Well, talking about over here that you have thick trees. Thick trees don't move.
Trunks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, come on, it's not all trunk. I mean, in a normal case, Benny Lamont, is you've got the trunks are separated and you've got these branches.
Are hedges trees? Hedges are trees?
No. No. What we're referring to here, you'll see why. What we're referring to is trees with trunks and then they have branches that come down in between them. And you're using a combination of the trunks and the branches. So if that's the case, it's all very nice to say that the trunks of the tree don't move, but the branches certainly do move. So what are you going to do about the branches? Ha'ika novo, what about the branches that move? Ah, what you do is, the avit lebehutz of a daf, and what you do is you braid the branches together with some palm leaves, or some bay leaves, of course not, bay tree leaves, and you make it into a braided mechitza, so it's really held together. And therefore, it doesn't move in a ruach mitzvah. So then what's the chiddush? If that's what the Mishnah is referring to. I mean, I thought the whole point of the Mishnah is that even though it moves, it doesn't bother me. Now you're telling me, no, can't move. So, okay, you're making it a case, a very specific case, where I did something to make sure it won't move. But then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? No, the Chiddush of the Mishnah, according to Rav Yaakov, is something entirely different. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is Matatem and Nigzadim Ati Lishtamu Shevi'ilan. You walk into your sukkah, you've got shelves all over the place. These shelves, of course, happen to be the branches of the trees. So you figure, okay, I'll put my jacket down onto this shelf, and I'll put my serving tray down on this shelf, and my challah deckel, where am I going to put my challah? Here's a nice time to put the challah deckel, put it on another branch. You're not allowed to do that. It's being mishtamish with the nilan on Yantif. I might think I should make a gzera. Come on, Shmuel, I don't make a gzera. Even though it's a very likely thing, but I don't make a gzera, though. Yisra, anyways, a drabona. So, matatem and nigzer diomati lishtamusha b'yilan. Kamash mama. Now, before we continue, I want to point out that being a braider with chutzah v'dafna, what does that mean exactly? That now it doesn't move? I mean, chutzah v'dafna certainly moves, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Of course it does. Okay. In reality, I mean, it's not, you're not going to make it as solid, because it's not a hedge. Right? And we're talking about you braided it, the leaves or something else. B'chara moves. So the question over here is the meaning. That the Chazon Ish understands the meaning. So does the Kaf HaChayim and many other Pirkei Halachas, all over the Maisa. That what the implications of the Sugya are is something entirely different. The going back and forth in Ruach Mitzuya is only where the Mechitza will be destroyed by the Ruach Mitzuya. How is a Mechitza destroyed by a Ruach Mitzuya? If they can move apart by three Tvachim. If they move apart by three Tvachim, it turns out that then you're breaking the law of the Mechitza. So the Mechitza is coming into place, going out of place, coming into that sound of Mechitza. It's constantly in a state of reasserting itself as a Mechitza where the wind stops. Mechitza that can't stand is not a Mechitza. Which makes a lot of sense. Then you put an Utsa Medafla and you see to it that it doesn't separate. So it all move as one piece. So it becomes like a sheet. A sheet to kosher Mechitza. Okay, that is the most cooler approach to the whole sukkah. Because according to this, people who make the side of their sukkah with a sheet, it's perfectly okay. Either the sheet's moving. So what? But it's moving as one piece, and therefore you're never levato the Mechitza.
No matter how much it moves.
Unless it blows up completely, then it's levato the Mechitza. But as long as it's held down in such a way that it's not going to blow up, it's a kosher Mechitza.
It just keeps shifting with it.
It can shift.
More of trade.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Because it's all one.
That's why we weren't machped on it until some years ago, because they said...
Right. In other words, the pashtus of the sugya, the older pashtus, is the way they looked at it. Now, the place where it started having a problem is Ramesha. Ramesha learned that the Gemara is not dealing over here with the bittul of the Mechitza. It's introducing a new concept, which is the norm of a Mechitza. The norm of a Mechitza is that it's not tolerable, that it's billowing. People don't use that as a Mechitza. So therefore, he said, look, if it's tied down on the edges of the sukkah, so it moves back and forth a little bit, that's okay. It doesn't have to be solidly at one place. But if it's billowing, it's not a function of three tvach. It's something that is just not usual for a person to look at as being a way to separate to Rishayas. So it didn't give a very clear hagdara. So because of that, people started tying down the sheet. But it still doesn't need to be so stiff that it doesn't move at all. Came along with Shlomis Almanor about Zetzal. And he gave a brilliant, brilliant explanation. But it's so beautiful. It's his classic Reb Shlomo Zalman, Mamish classic. How do you explain the fact that we should introduce a completely new issue over here? You think the Gemara is really talking about three tvachim? That's a serious movement. I mean, how many times do we have something that's going to move out of space three tvachim? And yet, you can't make up a new halacha about a billow. Is there something wrong with billow? There's no din of less than three tvachim. So what could the bar possibly mean? So he says, look, a mechitza that moves. Let's imagine a sukkah. Okay, the mechitza, let's say, doesn't move anywhere near three tvachim. It's a sheet. It moves 3 inches. Fine. So now imagine what happens. The mechitza is in position A. Okay, the inch that is within the mechitza has a mechitza. The moment the mechitza moves to position B, let's say, which is closer in the sukkah, then area A that was previously included within a mechitza is now outside of the mechitza. Right? Now, that has nothing to do with lavat, because a mechitza is absolute. Lavat doesn't change anything. When something is on one side of the mechitza, it's out of the mechitza. When it's on the other side of the mechitza, it's in the mechitza. But if the mechitza is constantly redefining what place is within it and what place is without it, what is it a mechitza to? Such a brilliant. So the Mela, for all intents and purposes, it keeps coming in and out of existence for this area or for that area. A Mechitza that's coming in and out of existence is exactly the same as a Mechitza that's being blown apart by three Tvachim. Except that over here, three Tvachim is not the issue. It's the enclosed area that's the issue.
It's a function of Mechitza.
Yeah, exactly.
But isn't
so? If that's the case, any movement that would actually allow different areas to be included in the mechitza would be unacceptable.
So it stops being mechitza because of that?
I mean, no, it becomes a different mechitza.
I understand, but the middle area is so.
Well, okay, obviously that's the obvious fight against him. But what he's saying is that in order to define a mechitza, it has to be defined as the mechitza to all the areas that are included. If that's and now I say this is mechitza number one, 3 minutes later it's mechitza number two. A minute later, it's mechitza number three. It's constantly changing its shame mechitza to where it is. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's not a mechitza. Mechitza has to be defined by a particular space. So if you take an arbitrary space in the middle of the mechitza, well, at least that always has a mechitza. That's not called a mechitza. That's kavua. Okay, listen, at least it gives some explanation, a technical explanation for how it tracks, but just the fact that it's moving should make it not a mechitza.
The trunk of the tree doesn't move. The trunk.
I know, we're not talking about the trunk. We're talking about the branches. The branches that he filled with Hutzav Adafna. The branches in between. The trunks are, let's say, 3 feet apart.
Little trees, not big trees.
Weeping willow.
We're getting to the weeping willow now. Next subject, weeping willows.
If you live in a house that you're used to pillowing, that isn't warm.
Okay, good. Look, this is Dafyomi, remember? Toshma. When it comes to Pasei Beira'ot, to be matir, an area with Yumdin, of an Ama piece, you can use for your Yumdin a tree, which then you can imagine to be hollowed out. If it has an Ama in this direction, an Ama in that direction, it's considered nonetheless to be kosher Yumdin. And I'd explain that. It moves. Now, it's also talking about David Lebutz and Vadaf. Toshma, Ilana Mesech al Aretz. Here's your weeping willows. Now you have a tree that touches the ground. It comes close to the ground, all around, right? It makes this big area. As long as the nof comes within 3 tvachim of the ground, and then it's level to the ground. You're allowed to carry under the weeping willow, because it defines Rishus HaYochid. But wait a minute. According to Rav Bar Yaakov, a weeping willow, I mean, it's constantly in movement with the air. Samai, Hoka'ozil Va'ati. Answers the Gemara, Ha'tamnami da'avad al-butzav ad-afna. If that's the case, it's got to be referring, according to Rav Bar Yaakov, that he braided the leaves of the weeping willow, so that now it cannot move in whatever we define movement, either the Shlosh HaTvachim, or Moshe's movement, or Shlomo Zalman's movement, whatever it is. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. If that's the case, then who made the mechitza? You did, right? Because you had to put in the Hutzav Adafna. It wasn't the raw leaves that were enough. The Hutzav Adafna was necessary. So if the Hutzav Adafna was made by you, then that means that this was a mechitza that was Asuya Ladira. In which case, there's no limitation of Beit Sa'atayim. Remember, the din of Beit Sa'atayim is a halach and karmelit, which we learn out of the Mishkan, that was the area of the Chatzar HaMishkan. So the Beit Sa'atayim gets a din of a karmelit only where it wasn't Mukaf Ladira. But if you were the ones who made it in order to stay there on Shabbos, then it is Mukaf Ladira. So then if that's the case, Halom, Amr of the Nevereder of Yeshua, Ein Metatel Limbo, Ela Beit Sa'atayim, why does he say you can only carry if the area under the willow is less than a Beit Sa'atayim? Boy, this has got to be one heck of a willow, let me tell you. That's 50 feet by 50 amas by 50. That's big. Okay, so if that's the case, you can't say that it was made with Hutzav Adafna. No, you can, says the Gemara. Why? Because even though you made the mechitza and you made it to stay in for Shabbos, is this where you're going to live? No, it's not where you live. It's you're on a teal. So you want to be outdoors, right? Or you're a shamer of the field. You need to be outdoors, whatever the case is. But it certainly is not the way that you're going to live your life under the weeping willow. And therefore, it's a dira shetashmishera la'avir. The main point of this dira is to be outdoors, not to be indoors. The whole dira shetashmishera la'avir ein metaltin ba'al ha'satayim. But one of the halachas we had back in Erevin is that if the dira is made to be outdoors, then it has the same constrictions on it as the normal dinam of the karfaf shelo kafladir. Okay, we'll just wait just another minute if you don't mind. Toshma, Shavat Betel, Shugavo Asara. A guy is on the road, and he wasn't able to make it into town, and now he makes a Shabbos on this little tell. The tell, this little hill, is 10 tefachim high, minimum, and it could be anywhere from 4 amot to a Beit Satayim, and it would all be considered his home. But no, yeah, the tchum of Shabbos. So the tchum would start at the edge, wherever that edge is. Obviously, if it's less than 4 amos, it's only one place anyway. But any, as big as it gets, but only if it gets until the shear of a Beit Satayim. Or if he's in a little mecca that's surrounded by dunes, let's say, which is amok asara, the same din, it's 10 tefachim deep, it's 4 amot up until Beit Satayim, or for that matter, if he's in the middle of a field. The field has beautiful grain, and it's all been harvested in the middle, leaving the outside rows of grain, waving grain, and he's, purple waving grain.
And he's outstanding.
And he's in the middle, right? That grain, standing grain, defines the area of his home, okay? So he has a kama ptura, and he has shibolot or meki fotota. The din is, in all these three cases, he can be mahalach et kula, he can walk all across the field, walk all across his tail, and so on and so forth, and he gets his plum at the edge, continues outside, beyond that, another alpayim am on Shabbos. How do you explain that, Rav Avner Bayakov? Nothing waves like grain. So avagav, the cause of ati, it's moving, and here it says beferish, that it's a kosher mechitza. Well, I'll have to say he spent a lot of time Erev Shabbos making the grain a solid mechitza with hutzah v'daf.
Even though it doesn't say that anyway.
Right. No choice, no choice. Good morning. Today's daf is daf chof dalet. And we're holding in the middle of the sugya. Let us to remind you, we have two approaches as to what the basis is of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to why a Baal Chai is not considered to be a usable dofen for a sukkah or a lechi or a diyuma for Shabbos. So the two approaches were either because we're chayish for Misa or we're chayish only Shema Tivrach. That's what the Gemara ended up boiling down to. So everybody would agree Shema Tivrach, but in a case where it was kashur, so there's no fear of its running away because it's tied. The shaila is whether or not we have to worry that it will die, and if it dies, we already get a chashash, it won't be able to fill the space necessary for the mechitza, and so on and so forth. Now, what we did yesterday is we pointed out that it seems strange that Abaye, who is the one who's explaining that Rabbi Meir holds that you have to be chashash that the animal will die, and that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not chashash the animal will die, actually said exactly the opposite when it came to being metarets, the two sugyas about a Bas Yisrael who marries a Kohen. So according to one, it says if he goes overseas, there's no chashash that she has to have that maybe he died. And she continues to eat for years, despite the fact she hasn't heard from him. She continues to eat truma on the assumption that he's still living. Our mountain climber actually won an award this morning. That's amazing. Look at that. That's wonderful.
My nephew's grandson had hung up that film at the hotel. I couldn't help it.
Ah, that's wonderful.
Can we get that letter?
Yeah, we want the letter from Reb Moshe. We want the show and tell. We want the whole story.
I have to apologize.
Oh,
I called Reb Moshe, and he said he's not the posek, Reb Henkin is the posek.
That's true. That's what he would say.
So we went up to Reb Henkin.
Oh, it was Reb Henkin. He brought it. So you forgot that part, huh?
I forgot that part.
That's right.
I know we called Reb Moshe.
This is wonderful. Reb Henkin was tack of the place. Reb Henkin had unbelievable guts. He's the one who taught the sack about birth control, that you have to use birth control. Yeah, because for 2 years there was never a dosh bay rabbin to allow pregnancy within 2 years. There's no heter to rely on shem repsayim hashem if you get pregnant within 2 years. Therefore, you mechuyev to make sure you don't get pregnant. Dosh bay rabbin. But anyway, here it is. I'm holding it up to the cameras. Everybody sees the beautiful tshuva from Reb Henkin in his handwriting. And the point to be matir the use of machzilat. Of course, he writes v'sha'alti as p agen Rebbe Yishai Feinstein the eskimos. Exactly.
Tell us what he's
today. I don't know exactly what kind. Rabbi Joshua told you he brought an actual piece of the machzilat to show him, so we can. What does it look like?
It's not in the bag. It's a roll, a real roll. One of the rolls that they use.
You didn't bring a piece of it. You should have brought a piece of it in here. This was in the year Tavshin Yud Beis. Tavshin Yud Beis is 1944
years ago.
52? No. Yud Beis? Yud Beis is... No, no, no. 61 was Lamed. It was Chof, I mean. Chof, the 60s were the Chofs. The 50s were the Yud Beis. This would be 1952, 1951, actually, because Tavshin Yud Beis was over here, it was over here in Kippur. 1951. Beautiful. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to our story. So the problem was that in the case where the husband disappears overseas, the woman continues to eat truma, even though she's not a Kohenes. She's married to a Kohen. But in the other case where he gives her a get that will be chal an hour before his death, she has to stop eating truma immediately. Why? Because the assumption is he could be dying in the next hour. So maybe now is an hour before his death. So make up your mind. Either you are cheshish for misa, or you're not cheshish for misa. How can you have it both ways? What's the matter? You can't fall asleep. What's the problem? Too loud?
There's a reverberation.
Yeah,
My doctor's advice. Okay. So we answered, Abaya answered, surprisingly, that it's Rabbi Meir who is not Chayesh Lamisa, and he's the one who said if she goes overseas, he can continue to eat. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who is Chayesh Lamisa, and the basis of this was the famous machlokas about whether somebody who buys wine and doesn't have an ability to take off the hafrosha at the time, whether he can make a tnai that when I will leave over eventually, I hereby designate as my truma, my meiser, and so on, and that way he has a hafrosha, where Rabbi Meir says that's fine, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, maybe it'll break, and if it breaks, so then you'll end up not doing hafrosha, you'll be drinking tevel the whole time. Now that's a reversal of the sugyas. So here, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says you got to worry about it breaking. It means you certainly have to worry about somebody dying if you have to worry about a glass breaking, because a glass, you can put it to a safe and make sure it doesn't break. It doesn't help you to put a person into a safe. So Memela, it reverses Rabbi's shita. Here he says Rabbi Meir is Chayesh Lemisa, there he says Rabbi Meir is not Chayesh Lemisa. Here he says Rabbi Yehuda is not Chayesh Lemisa, there he says Rabbi Yehuda is Chayesh Lemisa. Answers the Gemara that what Abaya had actually said was the opposite of the way we quoted it, and he did not base it on the sugya about taking off the trumas and maizres. He based it on something else, as we'll see, and he tined exactly what he says over here, because that's what it says in our sugya, and this is the fine place for him to base it on. And this is where we're up to now in Chavdalet Amud Aleph. Epoch, the first line. Epoch, switch that around. Rabbi Meir Chayesh Lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Chayesh Lemisa. Actually, he says there about the difference between the one who gave the get and the one who went overseas, exactly what he says over here. And his raya is from our sugya, the Tanya. What Abaya said was, Rabbi Meir is Chayesh Lemisa, that we see from the sugya in sukkah. Well, amazing, exactly what we're learning. Asa'ala behema dof in the sukkah, Rabbi Meir posel. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is not Chayesh Lemisa, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the behema is a kosher mechitza to the sukkah. Wonderful. But wait a second, it's not wonderful. I mean, it's all very nice to sweep under the rug the sugya about the trumas amaisus of the kuti, but I mean, you got to address it, no? Lemaisa, we end up having a kasha to Rabbi Meir out of the Rabbi Meir. I mean, here Rabbi Meir says, you don't have to worry that the glass will break. And in our sugya in sukkah, he says, you do have to worry that the behema will break. What's the difference? Omelachal, Rabbi Meir, is no comparison. Dying, there's nothing you can do about. So it doesn't matter how many shemrim you're going to put around the person, he's still going to die. So mita shricha, b'kiyata not lo shricha, efshe damasa le shemrim. You could take the glass, you put it into Fort Knox, have shemrim all around it, and it doesn't have to break. It has to break. But a person has to die. There's nothing you're going to do about it. So mamela, the misa is more shricha than the shviras hanot. Okay, but Rabbi Yehuda, for sure you have a kasha. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda here says that you don't have to worry about the behema dying. And over there he says you even have to worry about a cup breaking. So lachas kam and v'kamish, have to worry about the behema dying. So the Rabbi Yehuda is a kasha. Says, nah, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't really concerned that the glass will break. That's not why he said you can't take off meister that way. The Rabbi Yehuda la bishum dechayish lebikiyat hanod, ela mishum delet lebrera. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care if you've got all the guarantees in the world that 100% at 2:59 p.m. tomorrow you're going to have this left over. It doesn't help.
Because what happens tomorrow has nothing to do with what is only to happen today. So who's to say that because this molecule was left behind at the end, that therefore now it's only to be left behind? It happens to be that that's what ended up left behind. That doesn't mean that there's any way to identify that molecule now. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. He learns it in terms of chaos theory, basically. He says that the fact that something happens has nothing to do with what was meant to happen, because nothing is meant to happen. It just happens. So because of that, there's no relationship between this moment and the way that the configuration will eventually end up, that such and such number of molecules are left behind for Truma.
If you would pour off the wine...
So then he's being mafresh now.
No, he would pour off the wine and leave in that bottle a little bit of wine.
So that's hafrash. Yeah, and that would be his hafrash, but he's not doing that. He's saying, when it turns out that that's what's left over, that'll be. No.
He's not mafresh. He says, I'm leaving this for dessert.
No.
But
Lamaisa, he already set it aside. That's the part that will be left, because he did it. I mean, and you don't have to come into Breda.
The problem is that the person's drinking tevil all the time.
Right. But if you hold him, no Breda, then he never took it off. There was no afrash. But that's not what he says. What do you say? How can you say such a thing? Lochaish, Rabbi Yehuda, but yes, no, Rabbi Yehuda says beferish. Turns around to Rabbi Meir, and he says, I mean, Iktani Seifa, Amrula the Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon turned to Rabbi Meir, and they said to him, no, understand. You're not concerned that what happens if it breaks? So then it'll turn out that the guy has never taken off his trumas and maizes drinking tevil. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, stop talking. He doesn't. He says beferish. That's my reason. I'm worried that it'll break. And Rabbi Meir's response to that was, l'kishi yibaka. When it breaks, give me a call, will you? So michlal. I mean, doesn't that show the chayish Rabbi Yehuda l'bikiyata know that Rabbi Yehuda himself? Indeed, that's his problem. No, doesn't mean that at all. Rabbi Yehuda was, look, Rabbi Yehuda's not going to sit here and argue with Rabbi Meir about Breira. I mean, that's an old machlokas. We're going to go through it again. But Rabbi Yehuda's steining to Rabbi Meir like this. Look, to me, this whole thing is absurd. How can you leave something now that you're not leaving it? What was left later has nothing to do with what's now. What are you talking about? So it's bechlal a joke what you're saying. You hold that there is such a thing. Okay, let's for a minute pretend that you're right. But if the guy ends up never leaving it, then you're also agreed that it never happened, because it never will happen, right? I mean, after all, whatever. Okay, so why aren't you afraid maybe it'll break? And then it'll turn out he never, ever was mafresh, and therefore he was chased and told him, this is not a concern. But I mean, you're the guy who's all worried about the animal collapsing. Why aren't you worried about the cup breaking? No. I mean, to you, how do you rely on Breira if Lamaisa you're going to have to end up saying that the cup will be whole? So Lididorti Yesh Breira. So Lididi Leslie Breira. I don't hold it a whole issue. The whole discussion, therefore, is moot. But Lididach, the Yesh Breira. How about worrying? Omar Leila Kishi Bakaz. Rabbi says, no, I'm not concerned. When it breaks, give me a call and then we'll discuss it. Because he'll say that Misa Shricha. Exactly what he'll say. I'm not concerned for a cup breaking. I'm only concerned for life dying.
But now that it broke, you call him off. Now what's he going to
say? I'll say it's a tragedy.
In this particular case,
you know, he'll say exactly what Forrest Gump said. It happens, you know. What do you do? Yeah. Velo chayish Reb Yehuda l'misa. What are you saying? Reb Yehuda? We know that Reb Yehuda is chayish l'misa. What are you telling me? It's a beferish sugya. We just had a yuma. Vatnan Reb Yehuda Omer af isha acheret matkinin lo shema tamut ishto. So why does he say you need another wife for the Kohen Gadol? Maybe something happened to him. I thought we're not chayish that something will happen to his wife. Or itmar Allah Amar Rav Huna Rav Reb Yehoshua. We already said that that's a special case, no? Ma'ale asu. There's a play on words here, of course. We have ma'ale asu b'pora. Ma'ale asu b'kapora. Huh? Nice. So we make a special ma'ale for the issue of the kapora, so Yom HaKippur, which really meant... And the sugya there, I mean, what it really meant was, well, what better way is there to get him to worry about it anyway, right? the whole thing, we want to keep a level of awareness.
Is it Rabbi Yehuda that makes a special mila because of para? Or
this is not para.
Kapara, yeah. Or is it the Rabbanim? Who's making the special
Everybody mila? Agrees we make milas with kapara, but he's saying it, that the Rabbanim said we can't do this because then ain't it over self.
Right,
this lemaisa is Rabbi Yehuda. But not because he's really Kayash Lamisa, but because he doesn't worry about the Eilat Dovrasov, so I'm able to my loss. Okay, but now I don't understand either, Pshat. Both Abayim and Reb Zera don't make sense. I mean, you're telling me the problem is Shema Tivrach, Well, you're telling me the problem is Shema Talmud. I mean, Shema, Shema, Shema. That means it's Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, maybe. That's all very nice when it comes to the Lechi, and when it comes to the Yumdin, and when it comes to the Sukkah. You want to be Machmer, because of Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, I'm very happy to be Machmer. But how did Rabbi Meir come off saying that it won't be Matame Mishum Goyla? If you're telling me to be the Raisa, it's really a perfectly valid Bechitza, right?
It's a lot, right?
Yeah. It's a girl, it's a kever.
Right.
Who cares if it's living?
The animal. Aren't you using the animal as a goda?
It's a coincidence that it's living. Is that the animal that's being matame? It happens to be that this kever is an animal in me, but that's irrelevant. And if it was a stone, stone's also not matame. But if it's a kever, it's matame. No, it's a stone. It happens to be a living stone. You know, they say that about the Tosa hole there. So Lamaisa doesn't add up. I mean, Bein Lamad Yom Hashem Tamut, Bein Lamad Yom Hashem Tivrach. What you end up saying is that Midiraisa, it's a kosher mechitza, right? It's just that the Rabbanan who the Gozer brought to be Machmer. So how do you explain the fact that Miatel Rabbi Meir to Tamei Mishum Golel? Why wouldn't it be Metame? That's a Chumrah. You can't say because of Gzeira it's not going to be Metame. Alomet Nan. Why then does it say Beferish in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Metamei Mishum Golel, Rabbi Meir Metaher. I mean, we don't really need this Mishnah because we just quoted that it's not considered to be a golel. The reason that it brings this is because over here Rabbi Meir says beferush the word mitaher. Or it's always better to ask from the Mishnah. Both the Ritzin and the Rishonim said. But the fact is, it's a big steer. I mean, what are they thinking? How are they explaining Rabbi Meir when it doesn't explain Rabbi Meir? Elam Ravach Rabbi Yaakov, forget about that. Kesover Rabbi Meir, it's a whole brand new din. You know what? Rabbi Meir meant exactly what he said. He said, Kol mechitza shalmedet beruach ena mechitza. And you went all the way around, halfway around the globe, to figure out some reasoning for that that had nothing to do with the fact that it's a mechitza omedet beruach. How about if we just take Rabbi Meir at his word? And that's exactly what Rabbi Meir is saying. Something that only stands because of something that is not substantial is not substantial. You have this animal walking around, and it looks very substantial. All of a sudden, take away its life. Its life is completely insubstantial. Show me where its life is. Take away its life, and there it's not substantial anymore. So how can you make something a mechitza, which is a real thing, out of something that's a dream? Life is but a dream. How can you make a mechitza out of a dream? So that's all that he's saying. He's saying exactly what he means.
Right.
Through breathing. Ruach Elohim, Nishmas Apoi, what kind? That's real. It's not real. No. It's internal breath.
So is that why it doesn't matter that he holds the
ability on top of the
animal?
No, that's irrelevant.
It is
irrelevant. That's the question. Yeah, as long as I still have my sukkah, yeah, I had my sukkah anyway. Ikeri Amrin, others say that what Ravach Rabbi Yaakov said was, that kol mechitza she'ina asuya bidei adam, eina mechitza.
You can find this only in the animals, because we have an idea about the human being. The Shtei Ruchos in Perek, Misha Mesu, Marashah there says that Ruach, there is this thing that by Ben Adam is something that thing that's mechaber.
You mean the Yetzer Hara is real?
What?
Life may not be real, but the Yetzer Hara sure is.
Yeah, but the Marashah there says that Ben Adam is a thing that's mechaber and the Neshama Lukov, and animals don't have Neshama.
No, he uses this there too.
What?
He uses it for Adam also, elsewhere.
Right.
Rabbi Meir. So, I thought you don't say that piece about Moshe Adam and Abayim.
I did say that. Okay, I think
but you stress the chutz min haneshama. I thought you have that gears. All right. So the other pshat is that Rabbi Chaya Yaakov says, "Kasaver Rabbi Meir, kol mechitza she'ina asuya bidei adam, eina mechitza." By the way, Tosfos earlier, where he was talking about asuya bidei adam, lagavi oyalos and Rabbi Yehuda, points out that this is not the same meaning as over there. Over there it means that literally was made bidei adam. Over here it means is makeable by a ben adam. So in other words, the way to focus on it is not that the vital spark in the person is insubstantial, but rather that anything which is a quality that is not mechanical, I can't make this. So it's not mechanical, so then it's not, it doesn't relate to the elements in this world, which are mechanical elements. The Torah told us to deal with the world mechanically, build a sukkah mechanically. If you can't do it mechanically, so it doesn't count. Now, Lemaisa, there'll be a big nafkamina between these two things. Because we have cases where something very insubstantial can nonetheless be made mechanical. How do we do that? We take a nice, beautiful piece of silver and fill it up with helium, and all of a sudden there was nothing there. You've never seen inflatable sukkahs? We take an inflatable sukkah. It's the latest thing. All you do is hook up your vacuum cleaner to the sukkah. Before, there was nothing here. It was just lying on the ground. Turn on the vacuum cleaner. The sukkah just blows up. And it's amazing. Out of something completely insubstantial, just these little invisible molecules, you got yourself a somehow or other, a mechanical sukkah. It works just fine mechanically. The door opens, it closes. The walls, I bump into them. I can't move it. It's great.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, so if it's a din in the ultimate substantiability. So then lemaisa, I don't know, I open up the machit, there's nothing there, as far as I can see. I can't see these molecules. So as far as I'm concerned, what am I going to build a sukkah based on quantum mechanics? But just because I rely that these little things are bumping into each other, they're going to keep up the mechitza. So if, exactly, it's a suffix sukkah, according to Eisenberg.
This is not
asuya b'dei adam, but it's oimed
beruach.
Because there's nothing substantial, there's just air in it. There's nothing in there. I'm relying on things that I can't really have any mechanical connection to. So the question is, what level of emergence? Life is a meta emergence, and that the behavior of a gas in a container is a level of emergence that has nothing to do with any particular molecule of gas. It's just a statistical effect. Shailas, can I look at that as being something real or not? So these are two lashonos from Rav Achba Yaakov. What level of mechanics does the world have to respond to in terms of mitzvahs? So if you're telling me I can use the type of thing that people generally relate to as being mechanical, even though it isn't. They used to believe that it was some kind of law of nature, that if you put air into a tire, it's going to keep the tire inflated. And then they found out there's no such law. Okay, so nowadays, you're going to use a helium balloon. There's a statistical result that we call Boyle's law. It's just statistics, because the molecules bump into each other. They tend to separate. There's nothing that tells you it has to be that way. That's Rav Achba Yaakov.
Node
tafuach, a helium balloon.
Why that?
Oh, yeah, actually, I think they used leather in those days and oxygen and or carbon dioxide. But same idea, maybe it didn't float too well. Okay. There you go. He believed in insubstantial things. Okay, so maybe now he can be now dukba b'node tafuach. The question is, if you build a sukkah that's an inflatable sukkah, great idea. We should try marketing it, actually. Huh? They do have them? Oh, really?
Somebody bought it.
Definitely we can go to Home Depot with this. So, Lim... yeah, but does it sound inflatable? That stands in it. So, Lim, on the Amar Mechitza, Omedes Beruach, Ena Mechitza, it's not a kosher sukkah. Ari Omedes Beruach. If the problem is that it can't be insubstantial to the level that we have no way of mechanically causing it to come into being... So then, that's not a problem, because I can easily blow up as many helium balloons as I want. There's no problem. You could even inhale. You're thinking of maybe the hydrogen balloons. Huh? It's not good to be smoking in an alley. Omar Mar, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omru. Now, we added one additional thing that would be a problem of using a balchai. If you want to use that your dog, pet dog, to write the get on, well, this was a female, and he was sending it over with the get, that's not kosher. My time in the Rabbi Yosi, over here, what does that have to do with anything? Over here, it certainly has nothing to do with any of the issues we raised earlier. There's no din of machitzas, sibi the adam, and what is this talking about? Where did he get this idea? His svar is like this, my time in the Rabbi Yosi, Aglili. The Tanya. It says in the Torah, Im lo timtza chein beinav and so on and so forth, the katavla sefer kritur. What's that sefer? So, im yel a sefer. First of all, does that mean it has to dafka be written inside of a sefer that's kosher with cloth, like a sefer Torah and so on? How do I know, minayim l'rabot kol davar, how do I know that I could even write a get on a piece of paper? And I don't need necessarily a kosher sefer. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah adds, Vikatavla. Vikatavla is a general statement. So Vikatavla is Michol Makom. Tosfos asks, why don't we look at it as a klal, as a prado klal? And so, okay, so he explains the nafkamina, it's not really our sugya. So in Kema Talmud Lomar Sefer, so why bother mentioning Sefer if you only need Vikatavla? Lomar Lacha, Ma Sefer, Davar She'in Bo Ruach Hayim Ve'ino Ochel. But just like Sefer is something that is not alive, nor is it edible, so you cannot write a get on a poison apple or on your pet dog. Rabbana. The Rabbana say, it would have said, Vikatavla kritut basefer. Then I understand that the hakpada is that the din of viktav means in a piece of cloth. Fine, then we'd have this whole discussion. But when you write Vikatavla sefer kritut, it's not referring to how you wrote it. It's saying the story of the get. That's what it's saying. A sefer kritut is a book of, not to write it in a book. It's the content that we're talking about. What is this get? This get describes the fact that we're divorced. This is sipur dvarim, in other words. So therefore, the hashlech chiv sefer, now that it says sefer kritut, it's the sefirat dvarim ba'amud, that's coming to tell me what it is that you're supposed to include in the words. It's not saying where to put it. It doesn't say put it in a sefer. So wait, so then the Rabbana, so what do they do then with this whole piece of the katav la sefer kritut? He's learning it's in ktav. It's in ktav, it has to be on a klav, except that we have a reboid, so on and so forth. You're now saying that, no, the ktiva is irrelevant over here in this pasuk. Because it's not talking about Bat Sefer. So what's the meaning of the Katavla? No. Tosis points out, obviously, we learn many things from the Katavla, including that we need to have the Get Lishma, we learn from the Katavla, and that's this Katavla. Tosis, because we have a number of places where it uses the word the Katav in Gittin. We're asking specifically in terms of the Katav Bat Sefer, I'll leave in the Rabbana. So, hi, the Katav, my Darish Fibe, Aumi Baile, Bichtiva Mitkaresh, Veni Mitkaresh, Bichkese. That comes to tell me that you see, might have thought. The Torah says over here, so that means she goes, she leaves his house, and now goes to marry somebody else. That means that Torah is comparing the Yitziyah, which is a technical event, which is referred to the moment of Gerushin, to the Havayah, which is another technical event, which is the moment of Kedushin. So it's saying that these two seem to be fundamentally related, V'yatzah V'haitah. Therefore, I would have said, that mahavaya bekesef, just like we've already proven Masechet Kiddushin, that you can certainly create a havaya, you can create the relationship of Kiddushin with money, even though it seems to be completely irrelevant. So you should be able to create the Yitzhiya with money, even though it seems to be completely irrelevant, modern experience elsewise notwithstanding. Kamash Malan. Well, that's what I would have thought. Kamash Malan. Sefer kritut, the only way to achieve the kritut is with writing, and not with money.
Besides the get is all the money.
Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I swear me not. Where does Rabbi Yossi Aglili know that from? He says, it says sefer kritut. That means sefer korta. The kritut can only be achieved with the sefer. The word sefer itself is there to tell me the din about the cloth. And not ochel, not balakayim, and so on. But the word sefer kritut, what's that? That tells me that only the sefer achieves krita, vein davar acher korta. Ooh, hey, that's a good point. So what is it about the rabbana? Why don't they need that for them? Midak, ahumi boy le davar hakoreit, beino leveina. Now, they say the din of kritut is a whole different halacha. The din of kritut is that the get has to achieve a clean break. You can't have a get that is engineered to have strings attached. Literally. So we tie her to him some way, let's say, Kidatanya. He gives her a get, but he makes the get dependent on a condition. Okay, I'm giving you, this guy can't let go. Can't let go, right? Okay. So, well, I mean, there was a background for this get, you understand? So, I'm giving you the get on condition you don't drink wine ever again. We can see where this get came from. He doesn't want to going back to his in-laws. Okay. No, not Tolan. If he says Leolam, so then ain't Zekritut. If he says Kosher Hashem Yom, I raise Zekritut. So then it depends. A string that falls off is not considered to be a binding string. But a guy who tries to maintain control does not create a break with the get. We'll worry about that. No, these are important issues. It's how it works, but again, it's not our sugya. But the issue over here is, and we use this, it's amazing, we use this in English, no strings attached, is exactly based on this idea. You can't maintain a hold when you're trying to ostensibly, legally break that hold. That this is the type of tie that destroys the concept of the get. The idach, so that, and it doesn't, Rabbi Yossi's made it to that. Yes, but he says, but for that, what if it would have said sefer karet, would have meant the same thing. This is sefer kritut. So there's two different issues. Sefer korta and nothing else, plus it has to be a clean kritut. It has to be absolute. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, those kind of drushas, karet, kritut, that we don't go that far to be doresh. There's one drusha over here that only sefer is korta and not kesev. Despite all that we've said earlier about problems of sukkahs and trees, those were all cases where you had to go up on the tree, or there was a shaila whether you're samech ala ilan, the bottom of the sukkah is on the tree, the schach is supported by tree, we have the chashash who put something, whatever. But if you're using a tree as a wall, and it's not supporting the schach, it's not supporting the floor. You're not standing on the tree. We don't ask you to use this, that you learn what's wrong. Your sukkah is a perfectly kosher sukkah.
It's not supporting the sukkah.
No. Omar Ravacha Bar Yaakov. Ravacha Bar Yaakov says something which is so nogeya. Probably 70% of sukkahs. And he seems to ignore this Mishnah. Kol mechitza she'ina yechola lamod beruach metzuya, eina mechitza. If you have, forget about your schach, it can't blow away, and so on, I understand, we talked about that issue. Now we're talking about the walls. If the walls move, over here, la'amod, we'll see from the whole sugya, doesn't mean that they stand and they're not blown away from their place. Because the kasha, the gemara, takes for granted that a tree is eino omeid beruach metzuya. Why? Because it moves. Omeid, we'll see. Omeid means it stands firm. So it doesn't stand firm in the wind, not a good sukkah. Not a good mechitza, of any kind. Wow. And what do we do with all those sukkahs with netzachs? Big problem. We'll give you an address to send them to. We'll burn them for you. Together with the shekels. Yes, just send it to International Remarketing Incorporated. Post office box. It's none. Wait, says the Gemara, hold on a second. I understand he couldn't be ignoring the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you make a sukkah between the trees, and the tree forms the dolphin of the sukkah. It's kosher. Isn't it moving back and forth in the wind? Answers the Gemara, as Reb David just explained to us, not my tree, maybe. How come am I asking on Bekashim? These are big, heavy trees. I don't use just any old tree for my sukkah. I mean, come on. I mean, Vayika Nofai. Even the biggest trees got the branches. I mean, you mean tell me none of the branches you use for your wall? Mishnah doesn't say you can't use the branches. Mishnah says use the tree. I mean, whatever is normal. I mean, there's certainly cases where the branches form the wall. Well, if you're using the branches, then the Avid Leib Utsav Adafna. Then you basically interweave the branches, with branches from your dekel, big lulav, old open lulav leaves, 3 feet long leaves, or daphna leaves, we saw before. That way you make a solid mechitza, and then it doesn't move.
With the wall.
Pure wall. So what's the chiddush? I mean, when I read the Mishnah, I thought the Mishnah was going to tell me some chiddush. I assumed the chiddush was that even though a tree moves, and we just had a number of Mishnayot that spoke about the problem of movement, not a problem. But now you're telling me, no. You definitely are going to have to make sure the tree doesn't move. So then I said, what's the chiddush? Why can't I use it? Of course I can use a tree. Why not? No, because didn't we just have the whole sugya that if there's a chash that you'll use the tree? Say, no, you'll not be yomtub. So why aren't we afraid if the walls of the sukkah are a tree? So maybe you'll set your glasses and your cups down in the branches of the tree. You'll end up using the tree. So I would have thought, ma'atatema, nigzor, dilma ati lishtamushi bilan. Maybe here also we should be geyser. Is there any more? Kamash malan, that we don't not go, that's the only thing. But lamaisa, to move, is unacceptable. Yes, the Gemara, tashma. Hayasham ilan ogader. o mechitzat hakanim nidon mishum diumad. Here we see lagabi the diumad din of Shabbos. So it's okay to use a tree. So if you have a well, and you have on four sides trees that are an amma by an amma, so we can view them as extending in a corner as corner bars, which is our din of diyum din. So then it says over there it's kosher. How could it be kosher? Aren't the trees going to be waving back and forth? No, hasanami David lebutzavadafa. It's got to be talking about that you interwove it. Tashma ilana mesach ala aretz. We know, beferish, that the old willow was a kosher sukkah?
A sukkah or a shisa?
Defanis. Well, if used as defanis, but we certainly know it was a very powerful reshus hayochid. Once you go in, you can't get out. I mean, so the shayla is, somebody sits under the old willow on Shabbos. Can he carry? I mean, it's a big area over there. Can he carry there or not? So if it's not shlosha tefachim, so in other words, there's no hole between the bottom of the willow leaves and the underneath the area, so you can carry, yeah, it touches the ground, it comes from the shalosh, you can carry within the old willow branches. How can you do that? It's every time the wind comes, the branches blow back and forth. It should be a meaningless v'chitz, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Amai, ha'kaozo v'asi. No, we'll have to say that he used hutza v'dafna to now interweave the branches of the old willow, and therefore it's kosher.
How do you change it? It's moving.
And now it's very heavy. Now it becomes kosher. Ask the Gemara, actually, by the way, some say, so why doesn't the Gemara say he tied it down? Why does it have to go? Yes, go through this trouble. This is a big problem. Sit there, roots of the dafka, make a. Just say, tied a rope to it so that it couldn't move away. Bring a raya from here. The tying with a rope does not address the issue. So if you had a sheet or a circle of netzach that you tied it down, the fact is it still moves back and forth. That doesn't move away from its place, but it still moves back and forth. Shlomo Zalman held that that's completely possible. That a sukkah that moves in a ruach mitzuyah means not that it's blown away, but that it's movable, even though lemais it's tied down on the bottom.
Almost like a flag on a flagpole.
No, you tie both sides.
Yeah,
the circle of netzach, you tie both sides.
Is there never a fucking that has to move in order to be considered? No.
Not according to him. Reb Meisha also held that it did not have to move shleisha tvachim, it just had to move significantly. In other words, it wasn't a din in lovet, because what does that have to do with lovet? It's just saying that it's not solid. So it's not, so if it moves significantly, he said, even less, whatever significantly means, even if it's less than shleisha tvachim, but he held if it was tied down, you could rely on it's tying down, because then the mechitza as a whole didn't move. Yes, Abel.
If the walls internally are strong, there's covering that moves.
That's fine. Because then you're not relying on that wall. You don't need it. That's just tzniyas bi'alma.
That's what Rav Noivit once came by.
Who?
Rav Noivit, Shlita, came by in a courtyard and somebody had a sukkah netzach with his. I think he made him put a board.
A board within shlosha and another board, yeah. That's what most people do. They make a small board with lovet to make a lovet wall so that they're not relying and the sukkah netzach becomes litzniyuta, basically. Well, yeah, you can use strings. Yeah, you can use strings. I think nowadays they started selling sukkahs lenetzach with a lovet solution built in. Huh? It does if it's lovet.
But it has to be 10 tefachim.
Yeah, you have three strings basically, four strings within three tefachim.
Four bars.
They sell with little straps. They use straps. So I'm saying there are those sheep, Rabbi Shehel, it was enough. There's many sheep, as all that's enough. The Kafachayim says it would have to move to read Tvoch, and he holds that love that does define it. I'm saying there's a lot of different sheep. Reb Shlomo Zalman held that the mashmos of most of the Rishonim, and from the sugya over here, is that tying down is irrelevant. Because what we're looking at is not the actual movement of the machitza. We're looking, I mean, the tree also, how far is the tree going to move? I mean, the tree is there. I mean, it's not going to be pulled out of the ground.
Is the tree going to move to?
Well, you can't use it to sit on. No, you're not allowed
to touch
anything that's mukta. You're not allowed to move it. Fine. In any event, as you could see, there's enough deis that make it kedai to try to. I mean, on the other hand, I want to remind you about the sheet on the clothesline. Mice and Sipori, which is a place of Barnea's neighborhood. So he'll never forget the sheet on that clothesline. Now, I mean, That's right, two sheets and two clotheslines. They relied on that for mechitza. What about the mechitza that was moving? Now, the shaila is like this. Once you're telling me that it was avad labahutza v'dafna, so then essentially, it's no longer the old willow. It's now my house that I made. Once you're telling me it's my house that I made specifically for this purpose, now the rest doesn't fit in. Because if that's the case, as the Gemara Yochi, nital tel bekulei, why can't I carry around the entire area, no matter how large it is? Remember that there's two dinim. There's a din of a mechitza that surrounds a place that was not made ledira. So you have an area that's an open karfaf. It can't be larger than the chatzar mishkan, which is beitza atayim. More than that, you can't carry in. It becomes now a karmel that is also to carry anywhere. But if it's something that you made for a house, doesn't matter how big it is. So if you were telling me it was just a natural old willow, and I didn't make it boots of a daf, and I understand why it says over there you could only carry if the total area was less than the chatzar mishkan, was less than beitza atayim. But now you're telling me basically I built the house. So if I built the house, so then it means that my intent was to use this as an area that I'm going to be sitting under. So why is that considered to be a karfaf shalohu kafladira? I've adopted and made it. What? But it depends how big it is. But it says not like that. Allah Ma'amar Ravuna Bered of Yeshua. Why then did Ravuna Bered of Yeshua say that the meaning of the old willow is Ein Metatun Abo Ela Beitza Atai? How do you explain that? Ah, that's a different issue. You'll notice everything has to do with air around these dafim, right? It's mishum da'avi dira sheptash mishela avir. A home that is made not to be living in, but that is mishamish the area around it. This isn't really where you want to live. On the contrary, you basically want to live out in the field or on the seashore. But at night, you go into your cabin. That's not called a home. Because the only reason that somebody's using the old willow is because he's a shomer that's doing his job outdoors. So now at night he needs a place to hang out. That's considered to be tashmish alav. The main purpose of it is that it serves the outside where it's located, rather than serving the inside, because it allows people to use the outside.
Outside beyond the area.
Exactly. Since I have my old willow, I can afford to stay out and do my job, or I can afford, because I have the locker room, I can afford to stay at the beach all day, and so on and so forth. Nobody's interested in spending their time in the bathroom. But I have that bathroom, and it allows me to stay on the beach. Okay, so it's tashmish la'avir. If it's not really meant for living in. So if that's the case, kol dirasha tashmish la'avir, ein metatun b'ala satayim, despite the fact that I made it, and I made the weaving with the hutz of a dafna, it still also needs to take into consideration my purpose. And my purpose was la'avir, and therefore it's not considered to be a full dira. Tashma, one last attack against Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who claims it cannot be moving in the wind.
Blowing.
Exactly, right. The answer. We haven't got to the answer yet. Toshma. Shavat betel shugavoa asara. Suppose a guy ends up, he's walking along the road, it's before Shabbos, and he sees right before Shabbos a place where he can get into, that's like it's a little hill. It's 10 tefachim high. And it's more than 4 amos, because if it was 4 amos, I mean, then it doesn't matter if he has a place to stay or he doesn't have a place to stay. Everybody automatically takes up 4 amos and starts his tchum from out. But we're talking about over here extending your tchum. So you found yourself a little hill in the dale. So that hill, if it's more than 4 amos, now provides you a home away from home. Achiba bayit. So now, the size of that, however large it is, as long as it's not larger than a Beit Satayim, from that point on, you count your tum.
What's not larger, the
tail? A hill. Or a neka. Suppose you're the type of person that likes to go downhill. You know. So you get into a little trench, which is amok asara, and again, it's arba amot at Beit Satayim. Or, here's where we get to the problem of blowing in the wind. Or, you find yourself a field, and in the middle of this field, they already did the ktsira. So there's a little space in the middle up to Beit Satayim, and it's surrounded by the wheat blowing in the wind. You can use that mokum in the middle as your home, and you count your tchum from outside where the wheat is blowing. That is all very romantic, but according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, here we've got the question blowing in the wind, right? Here it says Koma Ketsura, and around it we have Shibolet Mekifot Ota. See, we have the Shibolot blowing around it. Mahalech is cool, he can walk the entire inside of the field. And then he starts counting Chutzala up by Imama. How do you explain that? Afagav the cause of Asi. It's blowing in the wind. Rav Acha bar Yaakov will insist that, of course, he found this right before Shabbos, but he had just enough time to bring down all of the branches of Utsa B'Dafa within the few kilometers around and make a beautiful mechitza all around B'Utsa B'Dafa. Okay. Look, if you've got to say it, he's got nice pictures. This one I want to see.
Does it include the not man-made?
No. Epoch. Rabbi Meir Chai Shlomisa, Rabbi Yudalo Chai Shlomisa, Netanya. Asa'ala be'ema dof in the sukkah, Rabbi Meir Kosev, Rabbi Yudal Makshir, Kasha the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir, Amalach Rabbi Meir, Mita Shricha, Bekiyat Anod, Lo Shricha. Efshe the Masa, Lele Shomer. And what about Kasha the Rabbi Yudal, Rabbi Yudal? Not time to Rabbi Yudal, Mishum the Chai Shlomisa, Bekiyat Anod, for heaven's sakes, it's Mishum the Lakli Breyer. Oh, Chai Shlomisa, Bekiyat Anod. Omenik Toni Sefer, Amrula, Rabbi Meir, Ia Tamo De Shema Yibaka Anod. And Rabbi Meir said, yeah, the Kishibaka. So Michal de Chayesh Rabbi Yehuda le Bikiata Nod. No. Rabbi Yehuda, who the Carmel Rabbi Meir? Look, Ledidi let li Breira, I have nothing to discuss. But Ledidach Yesh Breira, how about the problem of Shema Yibaka Anod? Omar Lai, no, the Kishibaka. So Lo Chayesh Rabbi Yehuda le Mika. But then Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Isha Keret Matkinin Lo Shema Tamut Ishto. Ha'it Mara Lo Amar Revuna Bereda Rav Yeshua. Ma'ale Asu Bekapara. Now, Bein Laman Diyom Hashema Tamut. Bein Laman Diyom Hashema Tivrach. Miniraitim if it's an ayahi. Rabbonin of the Gozer Basin. How do you explain, according to Rabbi Meir, to Tamei Mishum Golel? Alam etnan Rabbi Yudim et Tamei Mishum Golel, Rabbi Meir Mitaer, Alam Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Kasav Rabbi Meir Ko Mechitza Shomenet Beruach, Eina Mechitza. Igeni Amr Amr Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Kasav Rabbi Meir Ko Mechitza Sheina Suya Bidei Adam, Eina Mechitza. Ma Binai, we've been Aduk, Bamanot Tafua. So Leman Yomar Mechitza Omenet Beruach, Eina Mechitza. So this is no good, because it's Omenet Beruach. Leman Yomar Eina Suya Bidei Adam. So it is a suya b'dei adam, like any balloon. Omar Mar, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Aglili Amro, Af in Kotvin Olav Gitei Nashim, my time Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The Tanya is safer. Emi Ela Sefer Minayim Rabot Kol Davar Tamud Lomar V'Katav La Mikom Akom. Im Kein Ma Atam Lomar Sefer, Lomar Lacha Ma Sefer Davar Shem Ruach Hayim V'No Ochel, Af Kol Davar Shem Ruach Hayim V'No Ochel. Rabbonan, I Katav Ba Sefer, then you'd be right. But Hashta Tachziv Sefer Kritut, it just means Svirat Varim Ba'am Udi Ata. Rabbonan Haive Katav, my dashi be, Aumi Baile, Bektiva, Mitkarashi, Vena Mitkarashi, Bekesa. Sarkata Kamino, Elit, Kishitziala, Vayama, Vayaba Kesa, Fafizia, Bekesa. Kamash Malan, Rabiosak, Lili, I swear, Minale. He learns it out of this word, safer kritut. That means safer korta, in the Varacher korta. Rabbonan say, no, that's not what that means at all. Aumi Baile, safer kritut, that it needs to be a Davar Korei, Beno, the Minah. Kiritania, Reze, Kitech, Amanatro, Tishtiyai, or Amanatro, Terch, the Betavir. See, if it's Leolam, then ain't Zekritut. But if it's Koshloshim, Yom, Reze, Kritut. How does Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says that I learned from Karet Kritut. Vida, Karet Kritut, O Darshi. How says Sukato, Bene, Ilanot, Vailanot, Fanot, La, Shira. Om Rebacher, Bayakov, Ko, Mechitza, Sheina, Yechola, La, Amod, Beruach, Mitsuya, Eina, Mechitza. Tana, Ose, Sukato, Bene, Ilanot, Vailanot, Fanot, La, Shira. Voka, Azov, Rasi, Ach, Mayaskin, Bekashi. Aikanofa, David, I put it with Daphne. So then there's no Kiddush. There is. I came and exited about English Tamush Mila. Tamashmala. Toshma. Ayasha Milano Gadero Mechitzata Kanim. Nidon Mishum Diumad. Aye, it waves in the wind. Atanani Mishum Diavid, I put it with Daphne. Toshma. Ilan Amesech Aloritz. Ime no Fogavo Aminarch Loshat Vachim. Mitotel in Tachta, Vamai. Hoka Ozavati. No. If he was Avila Boots with Afna, so then he Akin Tata Bekulai. Allah Mam Ravana Brother of Yeshua, Ametata and Moela Beit Satai. That's a different reason. That's it, you made it. But it's a dear Tash Mishela Avir. Hold the Rash, Tash Mishela Avir, Ametata Limbo, Ela Sataim. Toshma, Shavat Betel, Shugavoa Saravu Mearba Madat Beit Satai. Or in a Neka, Shuamoka Saravu Barba Madat Beit Satai. Or if he has all around Kama, he has in the middle Kama Ketsura, and all around Shibolot or Makifoto.